Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry, and we are back in the studio on this beautiful, glorious day with Sandy, Tara, Tanya, and Shelley. And we are just about to embark on a great discussion about the cost of presents. But when we were talking about cost of presents, I kept thinking Christmas and the cost of Christmas for me. And I guess for probably many of us, that we have to evaluate what the cost of presents is going to be during this season. So are we going to fall victim to cost, as in our idols, and trying to provide all those great fun things that we love to get at Christmas? Or are we going to relish in the thought of our Savior, Jesus Christ, being born and the cost of that presence? Mm-hmm. And so as we go through that, that thought process, it'll bring us back right over to our Bible study. And we're going to be talking about that cost of presence and the battle that we face.
There is a really big war that rages. Sorry, I just hit the mic. In our world, and that there is a cost to presence. And I'm going to clarify, that's the actual physical presence of something in our life, not present. And we can invite things into our world that can tempt us or even seem like a good thing. For example, clothes, wealth, or money, that kind of thing. But as we welcome it in, it can lead to our destruction. Mm-hmm. But it's at the moment, as we're welcoming it, it seems pleasurable and good and wonderful, and that's what causes us to want it. Whereas the presence of God has a cost of sacrifice, and that oftentimes up front is the sacrifice. And so people don't want to move towards God because they see that there is a cost, a sacrifice ahead. And so they would rather walk away from God and move towards that which is an idol. And today's story, as we're ending up Portable Sanctuary, we're going to look at how this happened within the nation of Israel and what happened in the circumstances behind the person when he made this choice, how it greatly affected the entire nation. Mm-hmm. It affected the whole nation. And so we need to be thinking about how there is a cost to the presence of anything we bring into our life. And we need to ask, you know, do I really want to have that which will bring me to, or somebody in my life, to destruction? Or do I want to bring in that which will require sacrifice, but ultimately in the end brings blessing? And that's hard because it's about sacrificing at the beginning and not necessarily getting it when we want it.
Well, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of like the short term versus the long term. Mm-hmm. Do we want all this great stuff now, or, you know, and then we forego what the value is at the end?
Right.
And that's what our world does now. Fast. Mm-hmm.
Fast food,
fast, you know.
I think it's marketed that way, too.
It is marketed.
Right?
Yeah.
These big posters of what you're going to look like or feel like when you have it on, or you eat it, or you drink it, or you...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching a Tim Hawkins video this week. My kids are always showing me something. And it was on children and Christmas. And he was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited because for Christmas I had gotten my child the new iPod Nano something, I can't even remember, you know, and he even said the cost was $250. Wow. He goes, because we want to bless our children, right? And he said, so on Christmas morning, I was so excited because she opens it up and she's, and she's dancing and moaning and groaning, and he is thinking, as a dad, he has really nailed the gift. And she looks at him and says, it's the wrong size.
Yeah.
It's the wrong one. Yeah. She wanted the smaller one, that this one that is really only, it was like 2.5 inches that he was showing. She wanted the one that was like an inch.
Oh,
it's too cumbersome.
Oh.
You know, but I mean, and so how even we can even take for granted, even within that, the temptation of want, and that has to be the best of whatever our concept is.
Right.
We're going to see today that within the nation of Israel, Achan, literally, the joke amongst theologians is he ached for it, and then he ended up dying for it. Mm-hmm. All right, so in order to set the stage of the events of what's happened, we have looked at, I mean, we have spent months, y'all.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy to think to just cover these chapters? I guess eight months because we did an intro. Just to study the first seven chapters of the book of Joshua to understand what it means to be a portable
sanctuary.
We
could probably take the next 8 months to stay there, right?
I know. It's crazy how you can just really spend significant time and really reap a lot. So they have just won the Battle of Jericho. And Sandy, you had an awesome summary of what we ended with last week about the wait and the march and... Read it out, what you wrote down.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about strongholds and barriers, but God told them to wait on the Lord, and how often we don't do that, and then to march into action and to shout or speak what he wants us to speak, the command.
And Israel did it. They obeyed the Lord's command to a T, right down to Rahab, the prostitute who protected the spies. They even brought her and all that belonged to her out of the land and rescued them. And then at the end of chapter 6, it ends with Joshua proclaiming a curse upon anyone that should try to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And it's literally to the cost of their firstborn. If they do the foundation and if they go as far as setting up the city gates, it will cost them their youngest child. Mm-hmm. So you're talking from the first to the youngest as far as their lineage. And then we get to the point where now we begin where we're going to look at today. And Scripture says that the Lord was with Joshua and his fame spread throughout the land. That's how we ended it last time. Now in the Bible, in Joshua 7, this is what it tells us. It tells us but the Israelites had acted unfaithfully to the Lord with the devoted things. There was a man named Achan who was the son of Camri, the son of Zimri, who is the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. And this man took that which was set apart for God, devoted to God. And so the Lord's anger was burning against Israel. Now, Joshua at this time was getting the men ready to go to the next place. And so he sent spies out to Ai to go into the land. And he said to them, I want you to go and spy out this region. So the men went and they began to spy. Well, when they came back to Joshua, they said, oh, we don't need to take all of our people. I mean, there's no point. Ai doesn't have very many men, maybe 2,000, maybe 3. We don't need to make our people exhausted or weary them because there's not very many men there. So Joshua sent about 3,000 guys to go out to this land. And as they were going after them, the men of Ai routed them. And not only just routed them, it killed 36 of their men. And so that the nation of Israel was literally running from the men of Ai. And they chased them out through the city gates, all the way up into the stone quarries. And it was when they were going down the slopes in the stone quarries that they killed those men. And this totally caused the nation of Israel to be racked with fear, and their hearts melted like water. And when they returned, Joshua was just so broken. He began to rip his clothes, and he fell face down on the ground, and he was crying out to God. And he said, Lord, sovereign Lord, why did you bring us from over the Jordan into the land of the Amorites to allow them to destroy us? Well, the elders joined Joshua in what he was doing, and they also, when they put dust on their faces, they're falling down before the Lord. And Joshua is praying, and he's saying, why could we have not been content to stay where we were on the other side of the Jordan? And he said, Lord, we've been routed by our enemies, the Canaanites and the other people in this land. When they hear about this, they're going to wipe us out from this earth. Now, what are you going to do to protect your name? And this is when the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he said, stand up. Why are you face down in the ground? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant that I commanded them and told them to keep. They have taken the devoted things that I have given to be devoted unto me, and they stole them. They've lied about it, and they have kept it in their possession. This is why Israel turns its back and runs. It's because they have been made liable to destruction. They've been set apart for destruction because of what they did. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever you have that's devoted amongst your people. I want you to go and consecrate the people. You tell them, you consecrate yourselves and prepare for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted among you, O Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until it's removed. Well, in the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe, and then I will choose one to come forward. And then present yourselves clan by clan, and then I'll choose a clan to come forward. Present yourself family by family, and then I'll present, ask one to come forward. The family that comes forward, then have them come man by man, and I will choose a man. And the one caught with the devoted things will be destroyed by fire and all that belongs to him, for he has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done this disgrace to Israel. Well, the next morning, Israel, Joshua got up and he commanded Israel to come forward by tribes. Judah was taken. And then the clans of Judah came forward and he took the Zerahites. When he had the Zerahite clan come forward, the family of Zimri was taken. Joshua had before him the family. They'd come forward man by man, and it was Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Joshua looked at Achan and he said, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him praise. Tell me, what have you done? Do not hide it from me." And Achan replied, "It's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw the plunder of a beautiful Babylonia robe, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing about 50 shekels, I coveted them, and I took them. They're hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, and the silver was underneath. They took the things, and they brought them to Joshua and the Israelites, and they spread them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold, the wedge, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord's going to bring trouble on you today." And then all of Israel stoned him. And after they stoned the rest, they burned them. And over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, and it remains there till today. And then the Lord turned from his fierce anger, and they now call that place the Valley of Achor. May God honor the story of his word. It's a long passage, but it is a powerful story. And I'm doing all I can, as I was telling it, not to start crying, because it is so easy for myself to fall into the trap of want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that grieves me more than anything about this passage is how Achan's decision hurt the whole nation. The whole nation suffered because of him. And as I was preparing and studying this morning, God reminded me how when the nation of Israel was in obedience to God and they were going out before their enemy, it says that all in the land who watched and saw how God was moving before them of Israel, they were struck with fear.
Mm-hmm.
All were struck with fear when Israel was in obedience to God's commands. One person within the nation who disobeyed the command of God, and the whole nation was struck with fear, and the enemies came and routed them. That's pretty heavy and pretty tight if you think about the responsibility and the accountability to make sure that we have things right with God, especially if we're in leadership. But he was just a man within the tribe. And every time I went over, I can't tell you how many times I went over this as I was preparing, and I thought, God, why is it so important that they kept listing out the tribes? And so I'm going to ask you guys that. Why do you think they went to such detail in saying the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah? Why do you think that's so important of the tribe of Judah? Why do we need to hear that? We're all pretty sober in this.
I know. Part of me thinks it's the detail of the Lord. He knows the very detail, you
of
know.
Everything?
Yeah, that's good.
But then I also think there's going to be even more effect to the line of because of the sin. Do you know what I mean?
It's like the magnitude. Sure. I mean, it's the magnitude. It's not just one.
Right.
It's the family of
the community.
Yeah. Right.
That's the community.
Whenever we sin, we're hurting somebody. God first.
Right.
You know, and it is that like domino effect, I guess. Absolutely. You would have to say that it goes down. We don't realize how many are people we hurt with our sin.
Right.
Right.
And I think this shows that we hurt a lot.
Right. Even the tent and the donkeys, the sheep and the
everything.
Cattle.
Everything. Yeah, that just, I didn't think about that.
And the huge heap that was built up around him. It is mind blowing.
It is.
How this one person's choice affected the nation. And it says it over and over. I mean, it starts off with telling us that, you know, is he who did it, and it names the whole family. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the tribe and works its way through. And then when God gives the command of how he is going to determine who it is, God could have said, Joshua, strike Achan, he did it.
Yeah.
But God did not do that, because God wanted the nation of Israel to learn a lesson.
Right.
It was a lesson for the nation as much as it was for Achan. And so there's a reason why God routed it the way he did, from tribe to clan to family to the individual, from father to son, is because he wanted the entire nation to be in observance of how he disciplines those who do not follow his commands.
So is this back to like the generational sin that we read about?
Well, Achan, he's not sinning generationally, but if it's not dealt with, it could be.
It could be. Okay.
And here's the reason why. Jericho was to be destroyed because it was part of the nation of the Canaanite nation. And the Canaanite nation worshipped and were wicked with idols. Mm-hmm. By going in and taking that which was to be destroyed, he is actually inviting in within the nation the very curse that says the firstborn son and the lastborn son would be destroyed, because he is trying to build it back up by lifting up the idols, by saying it's worthy of keeping when it was set apart for destruction. Mm-hmm. That's pretty tight. Yeah. Now, we only have 30 seconds left. You have to come back and catch this, because this is going to be a very good lesson for us to get and to take hold of and not forget. And so we're really looking forward to dialoguing about this. And if you have any questions, email us at cultivatinghearts.org or tararye.com or at theopendoormission.org. God bless.